Warning, warning. This is the realest podcast on the internet. So if you don't like real shit, stop listening now. You're here with your homeboy, Art Dog, your main man, MJ Gunner, and the Reverend Real Shit, Sam Spoon. This is the Sons of Legends podcast.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Sons of Legends. Your boy Art Dog here, MJ Gunner.
Here.
Reverend of Real Shit, Sam Spade.
What up, though?
You already know what it is. I mean, we got a couple of things to get into, but this episode is basically going to be a tribute to the tunes. We're going to get into some of our favorite theme songs that's not being used right now, and we're going to get into that. But as of right now, Gunner, you had something you wanted to get into about Raw?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this Becky Lynch and Nia Jax feud that they got going on, which has been a good one. You know, I've been enjoying their work together with it and everything, but I can't help feeling that it's distracting Becky Lynch from Rhea Ripley. Like, I made this point on the show a few times before, but it's still true. We're 2 weeks away from WrestleMania, and Becky Lynch seems like she's more focused on putting down Nia Jax than winning the world title off of Mommy. And I could understand the point if it looked like they were going to add Nia Jax to this match. And I could have saw that happening if Nia Jax would have won this last Women's Standing match. But she lost. You know, so basically, she's in the same boat as Liv Morgan, pretty much. You know, I can't see either one of them being added to the world title match. And if that's the case, then what was the point? You know, why are we doing this on the road to WrestleMania?
Yeah, I feel you. And not only is it distracting Becky from WrestleMania, but it's taking a toll on her body leading up to WrestleMania. Fact. Rhea hasn't had any matches since Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, Mommy's resting and ready to go.
She's rested. She's ready to go. She's leading the group. She's pointing Dom where to go. She's pointing JD where to go. She's telling Finn and Damian what they need to do. Mm-hmm. And she hasn't had any matches since Elimination Chamber. So she's rested. And Becky's having last woman standing matches, getting the hell beat out of her. And what's that going to leave for Rhea to pick up?
Not a lot.
Jesus.
And, you know, you just made that point, and it kind of, I made this point a few weeks ago about Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre. If Seth could beat Drew McIntyre while his focus is split, then, you know, this would make Drew look really bad. If Becky Lynch happens to win this world title off Rhea Ripley, personally, I feel like it would make Rhea Ripley look bad, because as you just said, Becky's being put through the ringer.
She's had matches with Liv Morgan. She's had two matches with Nia Jax. She's had a last woman standing. You know what I'm saying? So she's been going through it.
Storyline says Rhea Ripley should be rested and ready to go come WrestleMania, and this should not even be competitive, to be honest with you. Like, there should be kind of a wear and tear on Becky Lynch because of all the stuff she's been going through, and Rhea Ripley should, you know, basically come in there and just mollywop this girl.
I mean, considering what she did to Nia Jax at Elimination Chamber, it's totally possible. But having Becky,
also being a man. Apparently.
Yeah, but having Becky lose to Nia and then having Rhea beat her made Becky look like she didn't stand a chance. So they had to have Becky beat Nia in order for her to look like she's competition.
I mean, I don't think that really applies to Becky Lynch, because I think she might be one of those people that you say is always believable.
Yeah.
I mean, Becky Lynch has done it all. She's always been one of the hottest acts in the women's division, and basically it should be hard for anybody to believe that Becky Lynch could take Rhea Ripley. Like, you know, whether she's losing matches or whatever the case may be.
Same thing I felt about Drew McIntyre until you started doing the you thing and saying that he needs to win. And
personally, I feel like he does need to win.
Well, it should go to apply the same for Becky. The same thing that you applied to Drew McIntyre should apply to Becky, but the only difference is Becky hasn't lost like 12 title matches in a row.
Yeah, that's true.
It seems like at this point they might as well just go ahead and do a triple threat, but I don't want to see it, but I don't know where else to go at this point.
I would much rather see a triple threat or a fatal four-way.
Me too, because
with the way the storyline's building.
Right, because then it wouldn't, because then all these weeks leading up to WrestleMania wouldn't feel like a waste, you know?
Right.
Like, this should have been a time where Becky and Rhea were building on what they had going on, and you know, Becky was building with Nia Jax for some reason. And besides that, like, what's going to happen with Nia Jax if she doesn't get into this match at WrestleMania? Like, there are a lot of people, namely a lot of women, who are still left off this card.
Yeah.
People that should be there. Nia Jax, Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Jay Cargill. We don't know what's going on with her.
That's a damn good point. That's a damn good point.
There are a lot of people that are being left off this card, and not just left off, but being replaced by people who are on double duty.
Yeah. Like, we I don't...
Seth has two matches. Cody has two matches. Roman has two matches. You know what I'm saying? Like, it shouldn't really be like that when we should be anticipating, you know... At the grandest stage of them all, you want to showcase the best talent that's there, and some of them are being left off.
A lot of, I can't say, a lot of the men have found their way onto WrestleMania. You know, we saw on SmackDown this week, we're going to have Logan Paul and Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, you know, LA Knight and AJ Styles. They have the sixth tag team ladder match at WrestleMania.
I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, it should be a good one.
The Awesome Truth, they qualified this week, beating Indy Shear.
I would love to see them win this thing.
We had the New Day, they qualified, mm-hmm. and they beat Tozawa and Otis.
Right. And DIY qualified.
I wouldn't mind seeing New Day run with the titles again. I wouldn't mind that, but I'm kind of pulling for Awesome Truth.
Me too, to be honest with you. I would love to see them win this
right.
thing.
Right. DIY qualified.
Beating the Creed Brothers.
Beating the Creed Brothers. I'm rooting for Awesome Truth, too. And storyline-wise, it does make sense.
It
because
makes a lot
our
of sense.
Truth has been through a lot with the Judgment Day, so that would make a lot of sense.
Like, if somebody's going to take the tag team titles off of the Judgment Day, I feel like it should be Truth and the Miz.
Shout out to that long shot that they did from Sami Zayn signing the contract with Gunther. And he's walking all the way back. They go all the way through Gorilla straight into a promo with R-Truth and Regeneration X, as it's called. And straight into Truth and Miz's entrance.
Right.
That was a hard shot from production stand-wise.
Right, I feel you.
That was dope. That reminded me of the long shot they did with Vince McMahon walking down the hall with the I Love Cox thing.
Yeah.
Where, the party guy ran up on him, the alien walked up on him. Like, that was one long shot, and that was great. Yeah. But Jay and Jimmy finally got face-to-face.
It's going down, man. It's going down. I'm more excited after seeing their promo on Raw this week than I thought I would have been.
Right.
You know, just seeing them in the same place at the same time, seeing them getting each other's faces nose to nose. Like, we've never seen that before. You know, like, yeah, they talk their crap on the different shows and everything. They get involved in each other's matches. But this is one of the first promos where they were actually going against each other, you know, talking right. with each other.
You can tell that they are super excited about this, and they had to hold back the emotion. You can tell.
That's good. I'm happy
there.
For them.
Yeah, the emotion was there, and they just got to use it in a different way. You know what I mean? But I think it's dope, though. Yeah. And the Cody Rhodes promo. Everybody's talking about the Cody Rhodes promo.
Yeah,
this, I mean, I'm only shocked that they let him say dick on TV. That's the only shocking point.
They were letting The Rock get away with murder when Cody got to get one in. And he took his shot, and man, did he drain it.
Yeah, everybody's saying how Cody's promos are always emotional and he don't never show that fire or whatever, but I think he proved them wrong with this one.
Yeah. And I don't really see how it's always emotional. Like, he does not cry that often. Like, people act like he just come out there and he's got the crybaby towel with him every single week just waiting to burst into tears.
I honestly think that that's one of the things that makes Cody special.
This means a lot to him, man. We this shit.
Like, Cody always seems to bring this emotion into wrestling that just hasn't been there lately.
Yeah, I feel
and
it.
And you know, when he starts talking about his mom and talking about Dusty, who's dead and means a lot to us, and the things that, like, my favorite promo was when he had Paul Heyman in the ring with him, and he told him, you know, Paul Heyman, you called my dad, and even, you know, you told him that if he let Steve Corino talk about him, he'd pay him and pay him well if he just agreed to be on TV. And not only did you pay him well, but you gave him his confidence back, and I can never thank you. And he really was about to make Paul Heyman cry. And Paul Heyman was like, you good? I give it to you. You're good. Because he is. He's good at bringing this emotion that people, like, people need that.
Ain't nothing wrong with it.
I love that about Cody. I think Cody's one of the best emotional promo cutters that there is. And Rock's trying to poke fun at it, but he's been the kind of silly guy. He cracks all these jokes and all of that stuff, but he's never, you know, been in depth. And when people get in depth with it, people are invested in you. That's why so many Cody fans out there.
Right. I feel that. Speaking of people who kind of showed a different emotion this week, I want to bring up Chad Gable. Because I feel like we all saw a different side to Chad Gable this week. We saw the side of Chad Gable that actually was defeated and actually wanted this. You know, we saw Chad Gable, you know, be a little upset because he's not going to WrestleMania. You know, personally, I like to see that side of him more than, you know, oh, well, I tried. You know, I'll dust myself off. I'll keep going. You know, it's like, damn it to hell, this should have been me.
Right.
This is my shot, and now you got it, and I'm upset about that. Like, you know, I like seeing that side of Chad Gable this week.
I didn't think you were going to bring Chad Gable up, but I always said Chad Gable was one of those guys, and I'm glad to see it. I thought when you were talking about emotion, you were going to bring up Candice LeRae.
No, not this time.
Candice LeRae has been on a solid heel turn that looks good on her.
Yeah, I feel that.
I mean, last week, she degraded Maxine down to as small as she could. Mm. Indy kicked her in the face and they got the win. This week, when they were fighting who I like to call the life of the party, Casey and Katana. Katana flipped over her and hurt her leg, and the ref was trying to push him back. Candace tagged herself in, ran in, snatched her leg up, put her in a single leg crab to hurt it even more, made her tap out, got the win, and she like, hey, we won. That's on you if you got hurt.
She's not wrong. She's not wrong. Like, you're not going to stop me from going for the kill.
Candace is on a solid heel turn, and I'm loving it. I just want Indy to come with her with it. Because I don't want them to break up the way, personally.
Yeah, you know, I definitely feel like that they make more sense together than they do apart.
But I think Indy's holding Candace back.
That's a possibility.
I don't want to say it. I love Indy and Candace together, but I think Indy's holding her back. Candace has been doing this for a long time, and she's good at it.
Yeah, I feel that.
Indy's still pretty green. and I think that this heel turn could be exactly what the doctor ordered.
Yeah.
But
time will tell.
Time will tell. I want a The Rock singing concert.
I liked it.
It's good he pokes fun at himself. I'll give him that.
Hey, man, that Hollywood Rock remix entrance.
Yes, well, I play it all day when I'm at work.
Oh, my God, bro. This dude is so fire. The Rock is one of the greatest ever. And this entrance with the lightning coming down, then the big bolt strikes and the spotlight hits him, and then the music slows down and turns into the hot. Man, this dude is a beast.
Did you see how when the entrance switched over to the Hollywood theme, how he smirked and the crowd went nuts?
And he started walking slowly?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man.
Fucking amazing.
Give The Rock his props. This dude is fire. This dude is fire, and he knows how to work that crowd. Whether you love him or you hate him, he can switch on to a good guy or he can switch on to a bad guy at the drop of a hat.
He kind of did that this week. You know, he was, you know, getting all emotional in Memphis and everything. Talk about how he's home and, you know, everybody's getting all excited and cheering and everything. I thought The Rock's supposed to be a bad guy.
But when he started singing those songs,
it's hard to resist.
It's so hard to hate him when he's a bad guy.
It is.
That is true.
That's the thing. When he's a bad guy, he has low blows that you can't help but laugh at.
Yeah.
It's like Triple H being a bad guy. You love to hate him, but then he always does something that makes you laugh.
I still remember this one Triple H promo. It was, it was 2004, Taboo Tuesday, right? And he's in the ring, he's going on and on about how he doesn't come to people's jobs and make decisions for them, right?
This guy when to drop the fries.
I don't tell this guy when the fries are up. And I don't tell this chick what street corner
to stand on.
I don't come to where you people work and make decisions for you.
I don't come to where this chick works and tell her what street corner to stand on.
That was a good one.
I mean, Trip and Rock are two of the greatest to ever do it. I love it. I love The Rock flipping back into Hollywood with the $500 shirts, the shades, the jewelry, the cockiness that comes out of his voice when he asks you, do you really want to boo The Rock?
Yeah.
And I just can't wait to see, because I can't imagine him losing at WrestleMania, but I can't imagine Cody losing at WrestleMania.
Like, if The Rock and Roman were to lose, who's taking that pinfall is my question.
That's the biggest question. If Cody and Seth were to lose, who's taking that pinfall?
Personally, because I think it would have been Seth.
Because you can't make Seth look bad right before his championship match.
Out of the four of them, I think Seth would eat the pin.
I don't know, bro.
I think so. My prediction is Cody and Seth lose, Bloodline rules, and yet somehow Cody still wins. That's my prediction.
That's my prediction, too. I think Rock's going to beat them, and then Bloodline rules, and Rock maybe turn on Roman. Because everybody's prediction is that Rock's going to turn on Roman. Your prediction is Roman's going to turn on Rock.
I still kind of feel this way. You know, I feel like that'd be the big swerve. Like, maybe Roman does turn on Rock, you know, after night one. I don't need you anymore. You know, I already got what I wanted, and then Rock costs him the title anyway. You know, maybe something like that.
And we'll see.
The biggest thing is everybody's keeps pointing out how Rock's throwing up the one in the Bloodline. And every time he say, I'll do everything in my power to make you lose, he looks at Roman.
Yeah.
It's a lot of conspiracy theories on the internet.
He could just be looking around, you know. Not everything has to have a double meaning.
This is wrestling we're talking about.
It's wrestling. So storyline wise, you know.
Yeah, I guess so.
But WrestleMania sure is shaping up, man. And the last thing I wanted to talk about was Naomi coming out to save Bayley and still getting her ass beat.
Should have stayed in catering.
You know what I'm saying? Like, right now, Bayley's looking like she has nobody that has her back. Naomi feels bad for her. She got beat up anyway. I think this might be where Bianca comes in.
Bianca's already said that she doesn't have no sympathy for Bayley.
But she's friends with Naomi.
Yeah.
And Naomi could convince her to help Bayley to dispatch of damage control.
I don't know.
She doesn't have a spot yet. You know what I'm saying? She doesn't have anything to do. And that's just a prediction for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, let's start talking about this tribute to the Toons, man. I wanted to we really had a conversation, you know, we've been having a conversation in the group chat and we've been talking about theme songs that we loved over the past years. And the one thing that Sam Spade said was, y'all need to give me a list of theme songs that y'all love that are no longer being used. And we came with our list, and it's time to give y'all that, our top five theme songs that are not being used. We will have honorable mentions too, but Sam Spade, I'm gonna give you the honor of going first, brother.
All right. So once again, it was explained, top five, no particular order, just your best five and one honorable mention. But it has to be a thing that isn't being used, you know, either due to different company, retirement, anything of that nature. All right. So my five, again, no particular order, is this one here. We're going to start with this one. Jeff Hardy, No More Words. This is one of my favorite things ever. When he won that title against Triple H and Edge, he played with one, lost it.
It does. It just makes you want to start doing this, pointing in the air, doing the Hardy dance,
leaning with your pelvis.
And you're right, Sam. That night, I think it was Over the Edge.
It was Armageddon 2008,
and that music played for like 12 minutes.
12 solid minutes. And they put it on repeat.
And he celebrated in the ring on top of the Titantron on the stage, like, and that song repeated, and I was still jamming the whole 12 minutes. I love that song.
I love that song, and Jeff Hardy was one of my favorites as a child. You know, that was a big moment for me, seeing him win the big one and everything. I thought it was great.
Loved it.
Great pick.
Next one. Going a little old school here. Oh, hold on. Got to switch it back. Going a little old school here.
He simply ravishing.
Ever. Another great pick.
It just screams 90s era kind of music that you like seeing on a TV show or something like that. Like off Saved by the Bell or something.
Right. Right. It's one of those kind of old school themes that back then everybody was kind of bopping to. I could see like the sunglasses, the striped pants. Yeah,
the surfboard like the parachute or something pants. Like that.
You know what I'm saying? Tank top.
Yeah.
Buzz cut.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean. It's just awesome. And then let's not forget, like I said, he's one of the best workers ever. He made the Ultimate Warrior look great on two separate occasions.
He is. He definitely is.
You know, the little rivalry he had with Sting was great. Oh, my God. Loved it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right, we're going to keep it old school. This one here, some of the younger viewers may not know this one, but I'm an old fart, but I'm a good old fart. We're going to go with this one right here for the third one.
You might have to say it over because we couldn't hear you through the music. Go ahead and introduce that one over because we couldn't hear you through the music.
You can hear me at all? Oh.
Yeah.
I'll start that over.
No, I said we couldn't hear you talking through the music.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Midnight Express, one of the greatest teams of all time. Along with Jim Cornette, the rivalry they had with Rock and Roll Express. Oh, man. Great tag team right there. Love that theme.
Yeah, that was a great tag team. I mean, the things that they done to elevate the tag team game, they were one of the ones that really stood out amongst all the tag teams that were there. And between, you know, Jim Cornette coming out with them and doing their thing, like, that was one of them.
Mm-hmm. Loved it.
Loved it.
Now, this one, the fourth one, still keeping it old school, but this one's a bit more iconic, and it's one of my personal favorites because I'm petty. I'm just going to say that because I'm petty. I love this.
Here we go.
Everybody.
I don't think so.
Not really.
I don't think you had to say anything with that one. That will always be iconic. The laugh, him and his monotone kind of rapping but talking.
Yeah.
What I love about this theme song the most is the simple fact that he's laughing at you about his money.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's...
He's not laughing at you because you're broke. He's laughing at you because he's rich. That's hilarious.
That's hilarious. And I think it's one of the most iconic themes of the 80s.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's been said on record that if Vince McMahon was an active wrestler for real, that would be his persona.
Basically.
Yep. Yeah. Now, for the fifth choice, going to bring it a little more modern back up. You know, not going to lie, I am a big fanboy of his. Not even going to lie. His whole gimmick is just awesome to me. I kind of hated when they switched him over to another gimmick, which was also pretty funny, but I liked his first gimmick, preferably his first gimmick. But it's this guy right here.
Tyler Breeze, I really thought that he was going to be a major player in WWE because that persona was top notch for back then.
I like Tyler Breeze. I like him a lot because in the days of really in-ring work, NXT, he had the character game. Like, he survived in that in-ring, you know,
workhorse
area of NXT, basically on character. I'm not saying he was garbage in the ring because he wasn't, but he was, but his character is what really brought it, was really, you know, drew your attention to him and really got him on the map.
Man, I love Prince Petty, man. Now, when he went to do the whole thing with the fashion files, that was pretty funny, but I'd rather he went back to the old school Tyler Breeze, but. Yeah. Shame they let him go, though.
Yeah, Tyler Breeze was one of those ones I really thought had the potential to be a major player because character work alone, even his in-ring work was good. His in-ring work was good, but that character was so 2016.
Mm-hmm. The selfie stick.
Yeah, the selfie stick, the furry boots, the fashion model without being a model.
Yeah.
What sold it for me was when he had the match with Juice and Thunder Liger.
Yeah.
That's what sold it for me because out of all the people on that NXT roster, which was loaded, they chose him. And he put on a damn good match with him, too.
I think I was sold way before that. Way before his match with Jushin, I mean, he had entrances at takeovers that were, like, iconic.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
So.
And then his feud with Velveteen Dream.
Yeah. I mean.
And so, for my one shout-out, we're going to go old school. Again, this is a pick of mine because I'm petty. And the theme song is hilarious, in my opinion, but I fucks with it.
Let's hear it. Sounded like such a take a bite out of crime theme song that a bad guy would use.
Man, back then, you got to remember WWF was silly back then. They had probably the silliest gimmicks ever. Bastion Booger, the Gobbly Gooker,
the Repo
guy
Man,
that robs people.
The Million Dollar Man. You had like British Bulldog, you know. You had, like, characters, actually, back then. The Goon.
Duke the Dumpster Trollsy. The Goon. Oh, my God, the Goon.
Right.
Y'all remember the Goon?
That's what I said. I said the Goon. Like, everybody back then had some type of job.
Right. Outside of wrestling, you're doing something. You're a plumber. You're a kid's party clown.
Right.
Oh, my God. Another gimmick before I let y'all start y'all list, another gimmick that I think should have worked, but I know why it didn't, Dean Douglas.
Yeah, it should have.
He
like,
was a teacher, right?
On paper, him being a teacher should have worked. And everybody's kind of taken that, a lot of people have taken that gimmick and kind of revised it a little bit.
Matt Stryker did it.
Matt Stryker or...
Yeah. It was pretty good, too.
Damian Sandow. Yep, Damian Sandow, who was the PowerPoint presentation. Drew Gulak.
Yes.
Who was the weight loss guy that used to come out on the Segway?
Simon Dean.
Like, everybody's kind of taken that persona, revised it a little bit, and kind of tried to use it again. And Dean Douglas was kind of ahead of his time. The only problem was he didn't get along with a lot of the guys in the back. And the main people that he didn't get along with was the clique.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so, that was the only problem.
That was
Shawn Michaels is going to injure himself so you can cough up the title so you can just lose to Razor Ramon in the same night. That's fucked up.
Not just that, but he wasn't the best wrestler until he kind of got to the indies. That's when he started kind of ramping it up and getting better.
I kind of disagree with that. Let's not forget he was part of the whole reason ECW became what it was.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Once he got in the NWA or, you know, the indies, as they called it back then, he, like, progressed to a different level because he was ECW champion for a long time. But he had...
This was before he went Dean Douglas. That's what I'm saying.
Now, the ECW championship came after.
You sure about that?
Positive.
Because Dean Douglas, his character was like 95.
And he was ECW champion around 97.
No, I'm talking about when he did the whole promo about, and they all can kiss my ass.
Yeah, that was after he left WWE.
We're going to do a fact check on that, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that was after. And
as the relevant historian, I don't like being wrong.
And he stayed ECW champion for a long time. He had the triad behind him because you got to remember, at that time, WWE released a lot of people. They released because Skip and Zip was the Body Donnas. They got released.
I remember that.
Bam Bam Bigelow got released.
Yep.
That's how they became the triad in ECW.
I am correct. I'm reading the Wikipedia page as I'm talking. We'll get into that later, though.
All right. Gunner, you can go ahead with your list if you...
All right.
Now, do you want to introduce each song, or do you want me to just play it and knit for a bit, then you talk about it?
Just play the song and I'll talk about it as when it's over.
Alright, let me see yours here. Okay.
Let's go to Gunner's first song.
Alright. Gotcha.
That was
Madison Rayne's Killer Queen song. Back in the day, you know, in the early 2010s or whatever, I was really bigger than TNA. I'm really big into now and then. Madison Rayne was always my favorite knockout. You know, I always thought she had a killer entrance. You know, she come out there in a little sash and her crown, you know, waving at everybody. You know, this song hits. You know, Madison Rayne, it should be considered, should be higher up on people's lists as far as knockout legends are concerned, because she was definitely, you know, should be up there.
You know, not gonna lie, That thing goes hard. Although my favorite wrestler over there outside of Gail Kim, like I mentioned weeks ago, was also Lacey Von Erich, despite the fact she couldn't wrestle for shit.
Mm-hmm.
She was hot as hell.
Alright, let's go into song number two. I am.
AJ was just one of my favorites over there, and every time that theme hit, And then you see him coming out there in his hood, and he got the spray, he got the fireworks going off. And I think it was JB who used to announce him as the Phenomenal AJ Styles. I just got excited every time I saw him, man. I was just happy to see him, and I knew the match was gonna be great, and that entrance just got me pumped.
Not gonna lie, I really like the older version of that song.
Yeah.
There was, you know, he had maybe four different versions of that song.
Yeah.
But I like the one that used to just hit the drums in the beginning, and then
he'll get ready to fly, and then
you're right, and then he'd come out with it. I like the older version, but all of them were good. That's pretty iconic song when it comes to TNA music.
Yeah,
he is. Now this next one, I like this one. I do like this one. Not gonna lie.
Let's go into his next one. That's a fire theme song right there.
Iconic. I just see him. He's coming out there in his cool shades. You know, Christian, he come out there in his shades. He's beating his chest. He's pointing at all his peeps. Oh, man, that was just great.
I used to love him using it when he had Tyson Tomko with him with the hood.
Yeah.
That used to come all the way down over his eyes.
Got a C.
Got the C in the middle of his chest, and he still was pointing at the peeps. But that... Just Close Your Eyes.
The Story of a Year did it when he came back. You know, that's the band, that's the male band that did his song. But I still prefer the female
version. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of The Story of a Year, but they just did that song way better, in my opinion.
The girls did.
Yeah, they did. The girl version did.
All right, let's go into his last one.
No, he has two more.
I would say that's three.
Oh, you got two more?
Trying to rush
this me. This one, legendary. That's all I'm going to say. Just straight legendary.
I'm not that big for old school wrestling, but if I had to pick an old school wrestler, it would be Macho Man Randy Savage, and just about everything he did, and that includes his entrance. You know, I like that song anyway. You know, the graduation song of people walk across stage and stuff. You know, he just had it, and you know, you just see him coming down there in all his brightly colored clothes and his big hat and his streamers and his glasses. It was just awesome.
Every time I hear it at somebody's graduation, that's exactly who pops in my head.
Yeah.
It's Macho Man. It's not pomp and circumstance for graduations. That's Macho Man's theme song in my eyes.
Yeah.
He has one of the few theme songs where, as a heel or a good guy, it works.
It did. It worked for him as Macho King, and it also worked for him as the Macho Man.
Yeah, that was great.
Macho King's probably my favorite gimmick ever.
One of mine, too.
A lot of people use the King of the Ring persona. He definitely did it. It's one of the best.
And King Booker's number two. King Booker.
Tell me. You didn't just say that.
Well, he just said that. He's probably right about it as well.
Well, what I loved about King Booker's gimmick, though, was how he would be all proper until some giga shit happened. And then the whole black just come out of him. It's hilarious.
I remember him. He was like talking to Jerry the King Lawler or something. He was like, Jerome, go on in the ring, Jerome. Yeah, we have glasses and wine and stuff in here, Jerome.
But yeah, let's go into his next one.
All right, now this one here, big fan of this one too. Sad he doesn't use it anymore, but I am a big fan of this one.
That was my favorite version of him, you know, from when he was in ECW, he was the straight edge, before he got into the cult of personality theme. I feel like this would just fit him well, and like I said, this straight edge version of CM Punk, this was my favorite version. You know, he had the long black hair, and he had the, you know, the facial rings and everything.
It's not that many theme songs that I like that scream so much. I liked the chorus of that song, but I did not like
the beginning.
Yeah. I don't.
You know, this fire burns.
Yeah, now that's the part, when it gets into that part, that's when I start to like it. But before that, I'm not that big of a fan.
I can just feel your punk hatred just flowing through the car right now. I can just feel it.
What do you want from me? I don't like Phil.
I can just feel it. Okay. Mr. Bias.
All right, now your honorable mention.
Now that's a great pick right there. That's a theme song. Talk about iconic.
Kind of feel like that's a theme song that was an iconic theme song as well.
You know, that worked for Skinny Drew and for Muscular Drew.
We haven't seen Muscular Drew yet.
He's only used it once, and it was at Mania.
Is that Clash of the Castle?
When yeah, Clash that, of the Castle.
That shit was lit. Yeah. I marked out, not going to lie.
I wish he'd bring it back.
Yeah, a lot of people do, but he likes his theme song that he has.
Yeah, I get that.
All right, I don't have nothing but about 13 minutes, so we're going to fly through mines real quick.
All right, here go the first one. This dude has had plenty of theme songs.
1,000. That was King of My World. Chris Jericho's theme when it came to when they did the, I think it was called Aggression CD.
Yep.
But he's only used it a few times, but that's one of my favorites. As soon as the games came out and you were able to create a person, I named myself the King of the World, and I used that theme for a long time.
Yeah, that's an iconic one from Christopher Jericho. You know, it's a shame he didn't use it more often, but that was definitely one of his best ones.
To me. All right, let's go to number two.
All right.
That is Johnny Gargano's Rebel Heart, my favorite theme song in NXT. Johnny Gargano was a beast in NXT. I love that theme song, and it's very few and far between that you get a guy who has a girl singing his theme song.
That was a great one. You know, I definitely like that one, but I also like the what do you used to call it? The broken heart one or the but he was a heel. I forget what he used to call that theme song, but that was another good one.
Yeah, but I have a soft spot for guys that have theme songs sung by girls.
Yeah.
So, Johnny Gargano, Rebel Heart, one of my favorites in NXT. All right, let's move on to the next one. That was Maven Behind the Stars. Personally, I feel like that was probably the best thing about Maven.
He's known for three things. Eliminate The Undertaker from the 2002 Royal Rumble, having a dope dropkick,
and that theme song.
Like, it was definitely one of my favorites. You know, I used to always enjoy listening to that when he was coming out there. It was definitely the highlight of his matches.
And he's got a YouTube channel, and even to this day, people still ask him about that theme song, and he said he didn't really like it.
Oh, that's crazy.
That's crazy, because everybody else did, Maven.
Everybody else did.
That goes.
All right, let's go into my next one.
Now, this next one, a little outside the box, but I like where his head is on this one.
That was Kevin Steen, Unsettling Differences. That's one of the theme songs that he used in Ring of Honor. And that's one of the things that really caught me right off the bat when I first started watching Ring of Honor was Kevin Steen and that theme song. He was very ruthless. He was a heel of all heels when he was using that theme song.
He was a menace
in Ring of Honor. Yeah. And that song really set it off for me. And I love that song. That's one of Ring of Honor's best. Let's go to the next, to my last
this,
one.
This is your last one, and we got your honorable mention.
That was Adam Cole, I Got Something For You. I was the biggest Adam Cole fan back then. And I was a menace when it came to Adam Cole. This guy really caught me. He had me, and every time he walk into the camera and sign, I Got Something For You, like, I never wanted him to lose.
Another great one.
He was a menace in Ring of Honor. He was champion for a long time. The person that took the belt off of him after so long of holding it ended up being Jay Briscoe. Mm-hmm. Adam Cole was a different type of beast in Ring of Honor than he is now.
100%.
Damn good pick.
Let's get to my honorable mention, and we'll save a little couple minutes to talk about these.
Now, I love this pick here. I love it. It's a shame that they don't use it anymore.
That was Shayna Baszler, Loyalty is everything. And I felt like that theme song fit her perfectly. I hate the theme song that she has now.
The nostalgic memories of her choking the life out of people as you listen to that theme song go. Man.
I mean, she was the queen of spades down there. She was the submission magician. She was one of the greatest women's champions in NXT.
And she definitely does not get the credit that she deserves for her run down there.
When she goes back down there, they show her that she is still the queen of NXT.
Yeah.
Like Shayna Baszler, that theme song, and that championship was NXT for a while.
For a long while.
So,
fun fact, that song is in my rotation.
And mine too. I have a lot of songs in my rotation. I had a couple of more honorable mentions, like Dana Brooke, Respect. I love that theme song. I love Bayley, Turn It Up. I used to harass and annoy everybody with Bayley's theme song. I want to give a shout out
she changed it.
To Goldust. His theme song was very iconic to me. And Stardust. Written in the Stars.
Yeah, I was about to say Stardust hit hard, bro.
Written in the Stars was crazy. I really like the old school Sheamus, Written on Your Face. That was a crazy theme song. Like, when it comes to these theme songs, man, it can really make or break a character.
That's true.
Because
I want to give a couple shout outs.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's give a shout out to John Morrison's theme, Ain't No Make Believe.
Yeah, that was hard.
That was great.
I love
Rob Van Dam, ECW's theme, Respect.
Yeah, that was hard too.
I love that one. The Shield.
Yeah, that's a classic. That's a classic right there. Even though like Roman still used it for a minute when he was becoming a tribal chief, he had to get rid of it in order to change people's perception of him.
His new theme song, I always call him like this old Great Value Sephiroth boss theme having ass.
Right. But, I mean, shout out to The Rock, Hollywood Rock theme. The iconic glass break in Stone Cold's music.
Yeah.
Like, a theme song means a lot when it comes down to it.
Undertaker's Keep Rolling theme song was another good one.
Just Undertaker's all his theme songs. Another one that really comes to mind as a make or break theme was Millions of Dollars.
Yeah, Titus O'Neil was a lot of fun.
Making Moves was a crazy theme song, and I think that's really one of the only things that connected the audience to the primetime players was that theme song.
Yeah, that was one that everybody got hyped with.
That Making Million Dollar Moves was crazy. It sounded like Boosie was singing.
Making Million Dollar Moves. I think that was around the time that Crime Time had stopped working.
That was a long time before then.
Prime Time Players was before Crime Time and after Crime Time.
Like, they were after Crime Time.
They were way after Crime Time.
Oh.
Crime Time broke up 2009.
But still, I mean, it's one of those themes. Like, can y'all think of a theme song that actually made a person?
S-A-W-F-T, Soft.
That was a good one.
That's a good one.
Love that song.
I think one of the theme songs that actually made somebody who they was the Dr. Thugonomics.
Yeah.
Word Life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it wasn't for Word Life, like, you wouldn't be able to picture him as a hip-hop guy.
Yeah, you definitely have problems.
Right. I mean, theme songs are everything. And this right here was our tribute to the theme songs. They mean so much. I got to give a shout-out to Heartbreak Kid.
Definitely.
That kind of made him. Shout out to Razor Ramon. Love that. You know what I'm saying? And it's a bunch of others.
Kurt
Angle.
There's
so many that we can't even get around to everything. But we will
may do another one of these later on down the line, y'all.
Yeah, we will do another one later down the line, and maybe we'll do the theme songs that we love currently.
Yeah.
But that's all we got for this week for the Sons of Legends, man. Tell them where to reach you, Gunner.
MJ Gunner on Instagram, Matt Lindsay on Facebook.
Sam Spade.
I'm everywhere
and nowhere. Our Dog 1 on Instagram, Our Dog 3 on Twitter. Thank you guys for listening to the Sons of Legends. I hope you guys have fun with this episode. If the quality's bad, it's okay. We'll get around to getting it better. Thank you guys for listening. Peace out.
Peace.
Deuce.